With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Highlight of New Year's Day in sports was a classic college playoff between the number 3-ranked Georgia Bulldogs and the 2nd-ranked Oklahoma Sooners. And it was Georgia knocking off Oklahoma in double overtime, 54-48. A touchdown after a blocked kick that got them the winning points in the winning margin. Story of the game. And there were a lot of them, Danny. Georgia's rushing offense, which all year long was a juggernaut. Nick Chubb, who's outstanding, power runner between the tackles. Sony Michel, who's just a great playmaker with speed to the edges. They combined to run the ball 25 times for over 300 yards. Sony Michel rushed for a 181. Nick Chubb ran for 145. A combined 5 touchdowns on their 25 attempts. They could still right now be running if it was up to Oklahoma to stop them and the clock didn't matter.
Well, Nick Chubb had a pedestrian 10.4 yards per carry next to Sony Michel's 16.5 per carry. Seems ridiculous that your boy Jake Fromm threw 29 times. Why throw ever at any point? Yeah. Hand the ball off.
And all he did was just efficiently
yeah,
manage.
He's good.
20 of 29 for 210-2. That's a true freshman just throwing darts. That guy's going to be a hell of an NFL quarterback.
Yeah, he's on his way. Freshman handling the business at the highest level right there. Didn't have to do as much. It helps to have a running game on the outside. Oklahoma, though, on the flip side, it's not as if they were slouchers and moving the football. This kid, Rodney Anderson, a sophomore, is a badass. That's the kind of guy that I like the way that he looks heading forward going to the next level. Someone that stays on his feet, plays through contact, a little bit of a sneaky burst, changes direction pretty well. I like Rodney Anderson an awful lot. He was impressive to me as well. He had over 200 yards in this ball game as well. Baker Mayfield made a bunch of plays, did a lot of those exciting backyard football. Baker Mayfield's going to make a play. When it breaks down around him, watch Baker Mayfield go. A lot of that stuff. He also held on to the football for 8 million hours in so many different times. And you wonder if guys are running open or not. But this game, if you're a college football over NFL person, as some of my buddies are, and I know a lot of people are, this was your see, kind of game to hold up
at this
point.
This is what it can look like.
How much fun was this back and forth? Underrated little thing in this game, when Oklahoma decided they got a 17-point lead, should be going into the half with that, they did that weird little ineffective squib kick, gave Georgia a chance to drive, not a ton, but moved the ball a little bit, kicked a long field goal before the half to cut it to 14.
Yeah, made it 31-17 instead of 31-14.
That little thing, I think, changed a lot of momentum in that game.
So, third quarter, Georgia made defensive adjustments, and I think their coaching staff was just better than Oklahoma's yesterday.
Yep.
They end up outscoring the Sooners 14-0 in the third, so you go to the fourth quarter all even at 34, final score being 54-48 because they both score 2 touchdowns, tack on extra points in the fourth. I was glad, by the way, nobody missed a kick they should have made.
Yeah.
It was wide right or wide left. I always feel terrible for the college kickers. There's just one kid out there who's not that good anyway.
Right.
You don't want it to be a missed kick. Now, it was a blocked kick, turned into not getting a stop in overtime, too, for the Oklahoma defense. But let's talk Baker Mayfield for a second, because I'm sure a lot of Redskins fans were thinking the same thing. You're picking at 13 with now a quarterback situation that is in limbo. You don't know if Kirk Cousins is going to come back. Couple questions. First of all, what do we think of Baker Mayfield? He is a tough guy to nail down, I think. I told you earlier, I always have a pretty strong opinion, I feel like, on college quarterbacks. I know you do as well. Like a binary, this guy is going to be good or not good in the league. I don't really know. If I had to bet on Baker Mayfield, my gut on him is that he's actually going to be a good NFL quarterback. But where I have my hesitation is he is the kind of guy, generally, I do not expect to be good.
He's the kind of guy that can get you
fired. Manziel than Russell Wilson.
So that's exactly what I was going to go with. If you're building a, like Madden create a player on the guy, right? And you start adding in ingredients. You take certain percentages of certain guys. He's got, if you're a negative on it, some Johnny Manziel to his game where the pocket's fine. He should have thrown the ball. He doesn't. He dances around and sometimes makes an incredible off his back foot throw to Mike Evans. And everyone
sometimes
thinks he's great.
You get a holding penalty and you're screwed.
Yeah. And other times it's a sack, it's a fumble, it's a loss, it's bad. He's also got a little punk to his game where he's stripped to the captaincy, is grabbing his huevos rancheros, is
running up and down
the
sideline, acting like he's never scored before.
He's got various signs and things for people. So, oh, it's just Biker having fun. Others would say, and maybe not really ready to lead a group of 53 grown men whose paychecks are on the line. I don't know. That's the negative side. The positive side is, and this is what I usually love and kind of almost usually gear towards, is it's awesome when everything is great. Nice pocket, drop back on time, receiver runs the route properly. It's the coverage you think. Can you deliver the football on time? Yeah, and the operation looks good. He doesn't do that as well, some guys. But I value that, for lack of a, you can smack me with the cliche ruler here, that playmaker gene, that thing that sometimes you like that guys have on defense.
Yeah.
I like it on offense where there's going to be chaos. You're going to have to convert a 4th-and-7 on the road in the sleet. Can you do that sort of crap? And Mayfield has that.
Yes, I know he's got that.
I know.
But there's a lot of guys in the league that have that don't end up being starting quarterbacks.
That's
because
true.
Down to down, they're not consistent enough as passers. Johnny Manziel still has that gene. You can't get to those plays because he doesn't allow you to. See what I mean?
Yeah.
Now, I'm not going to compare those two. I hated when Manziel came out, any team that took him in the first round I thought deserved to fall apart for the next 10 years.
Yeah, that's what you get.
That is not what Baker Mayfield is. Baker Mayfield's a football player. I mean, he actually has a chance to be legitimate. What I look for and like is like what I think Jake Fromm's going to be in 2 years, which is just a traditional passer in the pocket who makes big-time throws. It looked easy yesterday because you're handing the ball off and it's 300-plus rushing yards, and so all you got to do is go 20 of 29. Mayfield had a little bit more on his plate, but it's not like Rodney Anderson chewing up for 200 yards didn't help him.
Yeah, it's also they're running shallow crosses. They're running a lot of that spread stuff. So there's a lot of me. If I'm making my big chart, you know, like sometimes like in stupid sitcoms, they're like, do you want a date or not? And you make a good column and a bad column. If I'm doing my columns, one of the negative columns is goofy spread, Big 12, no defenses.
Yeah.
That's in there for me. Nothing but lateral sideways stuff. The inability to get rid of the football on time is a huge thing. The off-field crap with him is a thing. There's enough negative where I'm not going to be the one to take a chance.
I love Nick Chubb. I think he's one of the really good dudes in college football. I think Sony Michel's outstanding. I'm pulling for Georgia to beat Alabama. I think it'd be good just to see something different, to see a team get to the top of the mountain that
just
hasn't
a non-Alabama
been able
team
to.
Wants.
Yeah, someone other than Saban would be cool. Kirby Smart getting it done would be fun. It's going to be a great national championship game. A lot of people are upset because it's an SEC title game 2.0, basically.
Yeah.
And I know the ratings were bad. I think it was Alabama LSU a few years ago when the teams played and everyone was bothered by that and people didn't watch around the country. Hopefully they'll watch because I think it'll be a great game. But here's the question I want to pose on the phones. Do you trust the Redskins to make the right decision if they are drafting a quarterback? Whether that's Mason Rudolph or it's Baker Mayfield or it's Lamar Jackson, whoever they may choose, Josh Allen, do you trust this group to get it right? Because my concern is more that they won't guess right than that they're going to draft a quarterback in the first round. I don't really have a problem with doing that at all if Kirk Cousins isn't coming back. My hesitation is, do I really think these guys are going to pick the dude that's going to be great for the next 15 years? I'd be curious to see what people think about that at 800-636-1067. Also, your thoughts yesterday on Georgia, Oklahoma, and Alabama dismantling Clemson. You're listening to Grant and Danny on The Fan.
Folks, Danny Ruyer for my guys at Tedbert Ford. Gotta go see him. It's cold. It's frigid outside. You can do what I do. I walk outside and I hit the little button to lock the car, and then I start it up remotely. The seats are nice and toasty when I get into my 2017 Ford Fusion. I love that ride. Love the 2016 Ford Edge that we got in the Ruyer family as well. That's right, two Tedbert guys. We love Tedbert, and you guys will too. Fairfax, Chantilly, as I mentioned, just a click away. At TedBritt.com, here's what you get. Great new Ford, right? You get a great deal on a new ride, a great car. Here's what you also get. TedBritt for life. Not just words put together on a sheet of paper that I'm talking about. This is their entire attitude. They know you've got choices of where you're going to go get your next car from. They want to earn your business, and they will do it every single day. New pre-owned vehicles. Anything less than 100,000 miles. You get powertrain coverage. That's big stuff. Engine, transmission, etc., right? They also take care of all these little things for you. Like, if you crack your windshield, they'll fix it. They get your Virginia State inspection. They will get that done for you in-house, on-site. Complimentary service loaner program. It's top-notch, Spalding. Top-notch! You got to go see them, and when you do, please tell them Danny sent you.
I got good news and I got bad news. Danny, which do you want?
Bad news first. I always like to get that out of the way before I have a delicious dessert of good news.
The bad news for you is that Thombie and I just did a little mock draft. And we did draft an offensive player in the first three rounds. Nick Chubb in round three. Come on down. You're a Washington Redskins.
I could live with that. I could live with that.
Okay, good.
That part is not the end of the world.
Do you want the good news?
Give me the good news.
We took consecutive inside linebackers in the first and the second round. Order your Roquan Smith jersey now.
Okay. That'd be pretty steamed up, a full Roquan.
You feel good about that?
Come on down to Washington. I still need a minimum of three SEC defensive linemen out of this draft to come on up to Washington to feel comfortable, but I like that. I like me some Roquan.
Into round four, we have not yet addressed the defensive line. There's only so many picks to go around.
I can't have it.
We took two inside linebackers.
It's good. It is good. That is good. That is a
Zach Brown can now walk.
It's a nice start.
If Mason Foster wants to walk, he can. Zach Vigil, I'll try to sign you. Martrell Spade, I'll try to sign you. Will Compton, I'll try to sign you. You guys can play some special teams, but we got a couple of horses.
With all due respect to the McGee, McLean, Hood group, I need to upgrade from that. I need a little bit more.
The Redskins, actually, to your point, I think their outside linebacking position is pretty good next year.
If you're listing a position of comfort,
yeah,
I would put members of the secondary. I'd say cornerback, and I'd say outside linebacker. I feel pretty good about.
I'm not as confident at corner as you are after Bashaud Breeland left because I think he's outstanding and they're going to miss him. But look at the D-line right now, or I should say the linebacking core on the outside. Kerrigan, 13 sacks this year. Preston Smith, 8 sacks this year. Trent Murphy comes back. You got to re-sign him. 9 sacks last year, didn't play this year. You got to re-up with him. You got to re-up with Junior Gallette. But if you could do that, that's four that you feel pretty good about. Now, John Allen comes back on the D-line. Ioannidis made some big strides. Basically, you're another first or second round defensive lineman away from having a decent enough front seven. But you got to upgrade that defense. That should be the number one priority again. And you got to figure out what's going on at quarterback, which is what we're asking you on the phones. Can you trust the Redskins front office to pick the right QB? Part of why I think a lot of people just want to pay Kirk Cousins is at least you know what you've got in Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
Whereas this front office being tasked with finding the next kid quarterback that's going to lead this team forward may not be reliable to do that. Andre's in Manassas. What's up, Andre?
Hey, what's going on, gentlemen? No, I don't trust them because ultimately, if they were good at their jobs, if evaluating selecting quarterbacks, we wouldn't be in this predicament that we're in right now. I mean, A, they selected Robert, and, you know, God bless Robert. I think he's a good dude, but I just never thought his body was meant for the NFL. And obviously, we had the Kirk situation, and they just misjudged it. Didn't think. Because I think right now, the argument with Kirk is not whether or not he's a franchise quarterback or he can play in the NFL. It's just, you know, well, you know, we don't want to pay him too much. Well, you could have fixed that problem 3 years ago. So, tells me right there, they have the inability to evaluate talent or even determine which talent is going to succeed. They just don't have that, so I wouldn't trust them as presently constructed in terms of the GM, VP, whatever you want to call Bruce Allen.
Thanks, Dre. Hopefully they learned their lesson. You know, hopefully other teams learned the lesson, like the Minnesota Vikings with Case Keenum, yeah, or some of these other teams debating whether or not they're going to pay a guy. EJ, you're in D.C. What's good?
Hold on. Hello?
Hi, EJ.
Hey, what's up, EJ?
Don't let us interrupt you, man.
Man, I'm not. Thank you for taking my call, guys. I'm not too sold on Baker Mayfield. I think that's a Robert Griffin, Johnny Manziel all over. I don't have the confidence in who's going to pick the quarterback more than anything.
Correct.
You know, we got to keep Kirk Cousins. If we don't, we're going down to the bottom because, for one, I just want all them Kirk Cousins haters to understand he doesn't have any running game, any wide receivers, or anything, and he still threw for 4,000 yards, 29 touchdowns.
Appreciate you,
thank
buddy.
Thank you, Jay.
Here is the question, really. What is your defense going to look like this coming year? I actually think there is a path without Kirk Cousins to being about 8-8 next season. I don't think they're going to just fall apart and be 3-13, assuming they can upgrade their defense. Because what you have to take into account is if they actually take the money they don't spend on Cousins and use it,
which they didn't use it this year,
it's not a lock that they're going to do that. I mean, they've rolled over $15 million at a time over the last couple of years.
Uh-huh.
But assuming they take the money they're not spending on Cousins and they turn it into a inside linebacker who's really good, Zach Brown. They turn it into a defensive lineman that's going to have an impact coming over in free agency, Calais Campbell this year with Jacksonville.
Right.
If they go out and they spend, then they can get a lot better on defense. They could be a little bit worse on offense. They could have a worse quarterback position. But because their receivers will be a year more developed, because they're going to have a better running game, hopefully, because their defense is better, you could still be as good or a little bit better as a team. There's just so many things you have to do right if you don't have a quarterback. It's hard to trust this group. Tom's in Rockville. What's up, Tom?
Hey, Tom.
Hey, guys. Thank you for taking my call.
Got it.
Yeah, I'm just parlaying this back to our experience with the last two quarterbacks we drafted in the first round, whether it's Campbell or Griffin. If we set these guys up for failure, it doesn't matter who we draft. We're going to be in the same situation or with those guys. My biggest point is that if you look at how the roster was constructed in 2012 when we brought in Griffin with the draft picks and the cap hit and all that, that was in a favorable position for a starting quarterback to learn and develop in the NFL. And if you look at what happened with Campbell with, I believe it was like five offensive coordinators in five seasons or whatever, there isn't the type of stability and longevity there to say, we can just bring in this guy and let him plug and play and develop, in our system. If we bring in a guy like Baker Mayfield, maybe they go 5-11, maybe Jay Gruden's out at the end of the season, then you're in the same situation or with Campbell and Griffin, and does a coach like him or just...
That's actually a great point by Tom. If you do draft the rookie quarterback, the path to being good enough for Jay Gruden to keep his job, basically,
yeah,
is easier to foresee with some type of a veteran known commodity in free agency at quarterback than a kid who's going to be going through the lumps. Because even if you draft a guy who has a great career, let's say just pick a rookie quarterback.
Of this year?
Yeah.
Deshaun Watson.
Okay. No. I mean that they could draft this
year. Coming out. I'll say Mason Rudolph.
Okay. So they draft Mason Rudolph. Let's say Mason Rudolph goes on to have a terrific NFL career.
Yep.
It's not going to be terrific this year, right? He's going to have a ton of interceptions.
You
He's going
think,
to go through
right?
ruts. It's going to be a problem. So that means Jay may be in trouble if you go 6-10 or 7-9 again, right?
You would think.
Then you're going to find a coach where you already have a quarterback that they then have to inherit, which is not the order generally that you want. You want the coach to pick a quarterback for his scheme rather than hiring a guy because you like them to then cater everything around a player. Then why are you hiring them to begin with if they can't run
yeah.
what got them hired?
Right. So, I mean, for me, I'm less concerned about the futures and long terms of a head coach. I would just like to win. If you go get a rookie quarterback, I'd like for him to play and develop, and you get to see pretty early if the guy's worth trying to develop, right? You see the signs or you don't. Well, at the expense of a head coach getting his teeth kicked in. So they don't think that way. They got to think about self-preservation like everybody else in their respective roles, and people start covering their butts. So I could see a thing where you go with McCoy, you go with some veteran Jag, you know, for next year, maybe even the year beyond that, as you groom some young kid either this year or next year to kind of take you into the beyond. The one potential saving grace could be, though, if you go, hey, we're starting a rookie. This isn't on me. You guys wanted this toy. Now I'm going to do my best to coach him up. That's, you know, maybe some, to some reasonable minds, that might be enough to save the job of a head coach where things kind of start to go south record-wise, but not this group. They'll expect miracles day one.
Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm not sure that there's a more stressful job where there is more turnover. What job can you get an extension and it mean as little as it does for an NFL head coach?
It's worth the paper it's printed on at times.
Think about it. Jay Gruden got his extension this offseason, and there was talk over the last month and had two games not gone differently in December, the Broncos, the Cardinals.
Hot seat.
Probably would have been out of a job. Jim Caldwell got an extension during the year, in the fall, as the leaves were falling off of trees from the Detroit Lions, and then they didn't finish the way that their ownership wanted. And after back-to-back 9-7 seasons and being in the playoffs last year, he's gone.
Or a guy that hasn't won in the league in, what, 15 years? Whose last several seasons were 12 or 13 games under 500. Won a Super Bowl that time. And now calls games on Monday Night Football. He's available? See you, Jack. Bye. Take it easy, bud. 1 year removed from 12 and 4 with some injuries. You're gone. Bye. Because John Gruden is going to come cliche us. I mean, wow. Just how it is. You're absolutely right. And by the way, it seems reasonable right now that Jay Gruden is back, and that's kind of the report that we're getting, and that's what it seems, and he's gotten the vote of confidence. I can still see, by the way, something happening where this offseason, like, he disagrees with an assessment of somebody.
No, guy.
And somebody says, that's it. Get out of here, Jay, with your talking. Because they decide they want to go draft Baker.
You're being a little bit crazy.
You're right. This team is always so mundane and predictable.
But now? I mean, if they were going to fire him, they'd have just done it.
They fired Scott McLuhan the way that they did. I mean,
different situation.
Right. Of course it's different, but...
Okay, give me a percentage chance that Jay loses his job from here on out.
I'm not talking a high percentage, 10%.
Okay.
I'm not saying I'm putting a bet down on it. I am right. saying that
they You're saying
I'm saying
it's
that
not an impossibility.
I'm saying that they pretended that Scott McLuhan was in his room during the combine. I'm saying that officials from the Redskins pretended that he was there.
They didn't do that.
Because they didn't really think that anyone would find out.
So here are the openings. John Fox fired by the Bears. Is that a good job? Do we know if Mitchell Trubisky's terrible or if he can play?
Now, there's one of 32, so it's obviously it's important, but that with the scale, that's a horse-ass job.
You think
that's,
so?
That's the one where the GM signed a guy for a whole bunch of money, then changed their mind and traded away picks to make you worse to go get a guy that's not that good anyway.
I agree it's a bad job, but I actually think Trubisky could be this year's Goff in the sense that if you got like a Josh McDaniels or somebody in there with him, next year we could like him a whole lot more based on scheme, improving him, just like Goff with Sean McVay this year. Jim Caldwell with the Lions. That's actually a really good job.
That's the cushy one because if, let's say for the sake of argument, that Jim Bob Cooter doesn't go anywhere or he doesn't ascend to the head coaching job, you got that young, brilliant offensive mind, weapons on both sides. I love Tate. I love Jones. People are over-talking about Galladay, but that's as a third option maybe. Your tight end hates catching the ball on Ebron, but you're one productive running back away from a balanced, really good offense.
Sure, but and that's defensively, all on offense. Yeah. And defensively, they're okay.
They're okay.
Terrell Austin has been their defensive coordinator over the last few years and has been talked mm-hmm. about as a head coaching candidate. It's a tough division, though. If you think about Minnesota, 13-3, Green Bay, when Aaron Rodgers plays
back.
A full
yeah,
season, going to be back. I mean, the only team that really you're going to be better than next year is Chicago. And then you got to deal with a couple potential 10 to 12 win teams over the next few years. So that's one thing that makes it not as enticing. The Colts job's interesting. Is Andrew Luck my quarterback or not? It's tough to take that job feeling great because if Andrew Luck is going to start 16 games next year, they're 8-8, and in that division, you're probably within a game of the division title.
It's also kind of a terrible job.
That's my other point.
It's also kind of sneaky terrible.
Because you don't know about Andrew Luck. Their defense is horrendous. They've drafted really poorly. They have a owner that's impossible to deal with and a front office that's kind of a mess. You want to deal with Jim Irsay?
I don't.
Of course you don't.
Now, if I have a choice, nothing or deal with Jim Irsay, I guess I can deal with that. But they've had so many nonsensical things where they either covered up or lied or miscommunication or misdiagnoses. A number of players, not just Andrew Luck, that's the highest profile. That organization right now is a mess.
You know what job is actually pretty good? Is the New York Giants job.
With old Gettleman in there?
Absolutely. It's Dave Gettleman as their GM. They've got a couple Super Bowls last 10 years. You have Eli who can be your caretaker. You could draft a quarterback high in the first round if you want. You've got a defense that next year, I mean, think about all the money they spent and the talent on that defense.
Mm-hmm.
They have a chance to bounce right back. Like, I don't think that team, this was a sum of all fears year. They had 21 guys on IR. They had a terrible head coach. To me, that team, just rolling the footballs out and trying again next year, is probably a 6 or 7 win team.
Interesting. I suppose they could be. I mean, they still got some talent in a lot of spots. I mean, Landon Collins and JPP and some of the other guys, there may be something to that. If Beckham comes back, your offense is instantly better. That's not a bad one because you're going to get some stability. They like that. The job that I like, despite the tough division, I think Seattle's on the way down. Arizona's the job to me.
Great job.
Arizona's the one. That's the one I could get behind. Now,
you need a quarterback.
Who the hell's your quarterback?
Probably got a chance to draft one if you want to.
One would think. But I would argue that they go the free agent route because I think they're close. Even though Larry Fitzgerald's 127 years old, that They still got some players on defense. I like a lot of their offensive pieces. David Johnson comes back next year.
Why wouldn't that be the fit for Kirk Cousins?
It's a great fit for Kirk Cousins, by the way. It's a great fit for Cousins.
I agree with you. Speaking of Cousins, if you missed him on the show today, you can go to grantanddanny.com/audio. Listen to what he had to say. There are tickets available. They are selling very quickly. So if you want to come Friday, noon to 2, chance to meet, get an autograph, a picture with Kirk Cousins. If you're on the VIP list. Special season recap, an interview with the starting quarterback. It's at Jam and Java. Tickets are available at jamandjava.com. All the proceeds are going to benefit the DC Dream Center, so make sure you do that.
That will be a lot of fun. Again, jamandjava.com for tickets. For GP, for Brennan, for Thom, I'm Danny. CDVTW is up next with All Baseball Hot Stove, 4 hours and change.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.